Hey, greetings, everyone. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West here, and welcome to the Steadfast and Loyal podcast. You gotta light 'em up before they burn it down. Better dig deep, put 'em in the ground. But on their hands, they're hell bound.
Before they burn it down.
Greetings, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. In my career, from the battlefield to Congress, honor and integrity have always been my compass. When it comes to building a precious metals portfolio for my family, I choose United Patriot Coin. Their commitment to honesty and transparency aligns with everything I stand for. They care about our great country and focus on serving patriots from all walks of life. They've teamed up with veterans of the precious metals market to create a new kind of gold dealer designed to serve the needs of a new type of gold buyer. And that's why I know I can trust them when it comes time to buy my gold and silver. If you value honesty and reliability as I do, then join me. Hey, greetings, everyone. Welcome back to the Steadfast and Loyal podcast. As you know, we have taken the time to talk to a lot of Texas political challengers in this election cycle, mainly a lot from the Texas State House. And if you want, go back and look at the review that we did with Joanne Fleming of Grassroots Read the People. And we are going to interview our final State House challenger, and that is Jamie Haynes, running for Texas State House District 86. She was born in Austin. Jamie spent most of her life on the family ranch with her father, a fourth-generation rancher, and her mother in Brady, Texas. In 2020, Jamie's child was exposed to harmful content at their local public school. This moved her to step away from the family business and launch Texans Wake Up and pursue activist work within the Lone Star State. Jamie was asked to join the Project Protect Texas Children team, co-chair the Youth Literature Task Force, and joined the Texas Education 911 core team. She has earned a bachelor's degree in Management Information Systems, MIS, at Texas Tech University. She's a Red Raider, guns up, and earned her MBA at West Texas A&M University. Jamie and her son, JT Haynes, have two children and are active in church in Amarillo, Texas. Jamie Haynes, thank you so much, and welcome to the Steadfast and Loyal podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here this morning.
Awesome. Now, tell us about what happened in 2020, because I think that every single person has, I call it a belly button that has to be pushed, or a button that has to be pushed that all of a sudden flips the light on them. And so obviously this incident that happened in 2020 was your catalyst.
Definitely was. I mean, I was like probably every other Texan, just working every single day, working too much, trying to do all the things and go to the grocery store, cook dinner, get it on the table, and then do it all over again the next day, right? So I admit I wasn't probably as tuned in as I should have been. And then a mom had posted in a local social media group. And again, this was September 2020. We had just come back from COVID.
Yep.
And everybody was on their phones 24/7. And she had posted in a group what our kids were reading in freshman English at our high school. And I was shocked. All the moms were shocked. Texts were flying. And I was like, okay, hold on. Let's slow down. I'm going to order this book and get it in my hand and read it. And so I did. It was 2 days. And I got it. And I stayed up till about 2:30 in the morning and got about three-fourths through the title and was just shocked. I was just sick to my stomach. And the next morning I asked my son, I said, how were you reading this? And he said, well, Mom, the teacher told me to. And she actually said that this was the least worst book of the five on the list. And I was just so upset about that at that time. I hadn't read the others. I naively thought that if I just go ahead and read all five of these, do semi book reports on them, put quotes from the books, count all the profanity, and put it up on a website, that the community will instantly, you know, instantly solve this problem and these will be pulled and, you know, we'll walk away from all this and that'll be done. That was not the case. It changed my life completely and moved me in a different direction. And I basically walked away from our business and just threw myself into what else was going on in our school district. And yeah, and here I am today running for office because of all these things.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I often tell people that the only positive thing that came out of COVID was the fact that parents were there, you know, in the home with their kids because the kids were having to do remote learning. And all of a sudden parents who, as you just said, you're busy living your life, working hard, providing for the family, taking care of them. And then you saw what was happening in the school, and we've gone along so far in trusting, you know, the system of education to do what's right by our children, and then all of a sudden you find out that they're not. What was the immediate feedback you got to you standing up and saying, hey, we got to push back against this? And tell us about you starting Texans Wake Up.
So this truly, me putting these book reviews, if you will, on a website, I just threw up a simple website, you know, kind of had a technology background, as you can tell from my bio. So it was easy for me to just throw it up there. And that was the beginning of Texans Wake Up. That was literally my first blog, if you will. And so the feedback, I think people were kind of shocked. I think people maybe thought, okay, these were just, you know, singular instances, as well as I did at first. And lucky for us, we are able to log into most Texas ISD libraries or their library catalogs because they're online. Not all of them are, but a majority are. So we were able to log in and start searching for other materials that were available. While this was happening, lots of things were happening in our legislature. Some book lists had been released. And so I had lists to go search for, and I was finding these lists. And then I started doing more book reviews and putting them up on the website. And got pretty good at it, got proficient, you know, started, had a method. I have a list of horrible words, bad words, profanity, or words that mean bad words. And I would buy the title digitally, search for these. And when you find those words, you find the, you know, explicit content.
Yeah.
And so we were rocking and rolling creating these. And then I started having other parents all over Texas reach out to me and say, hey, I think these are in my school. Can you help me? And since I had already done the groundwork, it was really easy to go into the, log into their district, search for the most common ones, find them, and then I could just click and then boom, create them a unique link for their district and send it to them. And so I started helping other parents throughout Texas.
Now, you know, if you listen to the folks on the progressive socialist left side, Gavin Newsom, you know, he's going to say, well, Jamie Haynes is out there just banning books, and she's a fascist, and she's censoring freedom of expression and freedom of speech. How do you respond to that?
I mean, I am for freedom of speech. I am against censorship. But when it comes to minors, we have different rules, and as we should. And there are Texas penal codes that talk about sexually explicit materials. And we have to have limits. There has to be a line in the sand somewhere. Not to mention that if we have community standards, and then we also have, you know, education code that says if it's explicitly vulgar, that it's not necessarily needs to be in a public school for minors. And again, these are children. And so we just have to have some kind of guidelines that we operate by. And I don't think anybody had ever really looked at that because this had not been an issue before. And so we have things called the obscenity exemption. Yeah. And so this is something that we need to pass in Texas, and we haven't yet. I think seven or eight other states have in the United States. And so there's still work to be done. We had a great bill passed this last session, HB 900, that I know you're familiar with.
Yes.
That kind of pushes it back on the vendors, but it's being challenged in the courts. So we still have a lot of work to do in this area.
You know, when you look at this issue of the educational material that's being put forth in front of our children, you look at the taking of our children to these, you know, drag queen shows, which to me, that is, you know, child endangerment. That's exposing minors to, you know, some very, you know, not good content. And then also you look at this thing about affirming our children's gender, because now all of a sudden we've gotten to the point where there are certain states that will take a child away from the parents if they don't affirm what this minor child wants to have done. Talk to us about, because you were on a subcommittee for the Republican Party of Texas, this whole sexualization of our children. Help our listeners and our audience to better understand that.
Well, I mean, as conservatives, we just have to focus on truth. And the truth is there is only two sexes, male and female. And when you're born, you're one or the other. I know that many folks want to argue that sometimes there can be, you know, genetic differences that happen when you're born. But at the core of it, it's embedded in your chromosomes, whether you are a male or a female. And so we have to just land on truth and not allow the world or anyone else to try to alter someone's perception of what a child can be. They are one or the other when they are born, and that is it. And us, I mean, it's just really a social thing that's happening, I believe, of trying to alter their sex, whether they're a really small infant or even in their teen years. We know that this is not healthy. We want the child to develop in their true sex throughout their minor years and not take any kind of drugs to alter that, or of course not cut off any body parts. To me, this is child mutilation and it's child abuse.
Yeah, it is. And I find it interesting that, you know, these minor kids that can't go out and get a tattoo, all of a sudden we're supposed to allow them to go out and mutilate their bodies. And that's a permanent change. I mean, you can get a tattoo removed. So what has taken you now to take the next step in running for political office, Texas State House District, against a sitting incumbent?
Good question. So I engaged heavily at the local level, went through the formal grievance process with the Texas ISDs, and it actually filed a TEA complaint, and then took it to the state level and got very engaged with coalitions and then also with the Republican Party of Texas on our legislative priority subcommittees, and then really saw this last session in 2023 what was happening in the Texas House and how it's broken. And I think many of us that engaged saw that. And I think it's exciting for Texas because we do see that how it's broken, but it's exciting because between the Biden administration, between our border that's a disaster, and between the Paxton hearing, whether you love him or hate him, all of these things have really woken up Texans. And we're starting to pay attention. And it's never before, like Joanne said the other day with you, never before have we had this many folks like me challenging these long-term incumbents in the Texas House. And honestly, we just need, we need fresh blood in there. We need folks that are true conservatives, that aren't looking for a paycheck or a career, that are truly in there to make Texas a better place for our children and our grandchildren.
So what do you see as, again, taking on, you know, this incumbent who's been there for some time, what do you see as the big challenges for you? I don't say obstacles, I just say challenges in this race, which, you know, we're already into early voting. That will end here pretty soon, the 1st of March, and then the election will be about a week from where we are talking right now on the 5th of March.
I think that probably the biggest challenge for me in particular with this particular incumbent is that he's been there for such a long time. It's closing in on four decades. And so that's just a lot of name recognition that he has. And that's hard to overcome trying to get my name. And my district is seven counties. Wow. So it just takes a minute to get around there and try to build relationships and meet folks and tell them your heart and why you're doing this. And then also, as you know, running for office, lots of organizations and PACs and whatnot, you know, you think it's a level playing ground, but those PACs and groups will tend to give the incumbent their endorsement or their support without even talking to you. You know, it's kind of like Vegas. They're just playing the odds, and the odds are that the incumbent normally wins out. And so that's super challenging because I think lots of times people look at those endorsements. And I just want to say, hey, I never even talked to him. They never asked me any questions. You know, he just got it. which is fine. It's their choice, but I want them to understand that they never even communicated with me. So lots of challenges there. And then, of course, just financially, he's got, you know, a lot of backing, a lot of relationships, and, you know, we're brand new out of the gate. And so just having to work for everything that we get and just have heart-to-heart one-on-one conversations with people and tell them why we're doing this and what I believe in. And so it's doable, but it is a big challenge.
Yeah. So you're successful. You win the primary. Chances are then you'll breeze through a general election out there in West Texas. What are your top three legislative priorities when you become a member of the Texas State House?
I think this is an interesting question, and I get this a lot. People say, Jamie, what do you want to do when you get elected? And it's not about what I want to do, because I very much understand this is an interview process, and I'm asking the people to hire me. And so I say it's twofold. I say, on one hand, I'm loyal to the Republican Party of Texas platform and whatever legislative priorities they put forth for the next session, which we'll decide on at convention. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also loyal to the needs of my district, District 86. And so to find out those needs of that district, as soon as I hopefully win this primary, I want to start meeting with folks. I want to have groups in different areas, whether it be law enforcement, education, whatever the area may be. We'll pull together different elected officials, business leaders, just citizens that want to volunteer and say, hey, what's wrong in these areas in the 86th district? What do we need to improve upon? Is there already legislation out there? What's wrong with it? How come it's not moving forward? And get organized and prioritize things and start building our bills out right now. And then even, you know, throw them out there to other people and say, hey, what's wrong with this? Let's start garnering support from other rural districts. And to me, these things seem logical. But those twofold things is what I'll be loyal to. It's not about what Jamie wants.
Yeah. So I would still tend to believe that the education issue is very important for you. Out in West Texas, you know, ranching and ranch land is very important. I was kind of shocked that this last legislative session of 2023, we could not pass any type of bill that would preclude, you know, foreign adversaries from buying up land here in Texas. Is that a big issue for you all out there in West Texas?
We don't see a lot of folks. We see large corporations. One just came in and bought a lot of land. They're out of Houston, actually, and they're going to put in a solar farm. We see different things like that happening. I don't know that they're necessarily buying up land, but we see a lot of the wind farms have come up here. Mm-hmm. And so different things like that, it does affect us. But I would definitely be for stopping our foreign adversaries from purchasing land in Texas, and of course, across the United States. I feel like we should do that nationwide.
And what do you see? Because I'm sure that as you look across the United States of America, every, you know, state and every community has become a border state. What are the challenges you have out there in West Texas with the illegal immigration issue and the open border? And how would you support legislation to get that back under control?
Yeah, so, you know, the bill that pops into my mind right off the bat is, I believe it was HB 20, our BPU, our Border Protection Unit, going to be created. It was the speaker's priority bill. And of course, it died. We all know that and why. Just super frustrating. I think that would be something wonderful for Texas, that we'd have somebody just focusing on the Mexico border. But also, we have issues in Texas, especially being up here in the panhandle, you know, with the other two states, because they have legalized forms of drugs that aren't legal here. So they flow right down our highways. And so we need help even with those borders too. But back to the BPU, that would have really helped us up here, because we have our DPS that tend to leave our areas and go down and help at the border, or even in Austin or Houston, I'm hearing. And so that puts strains on our local resources when they're not here. And then plus, we've gotten so much feedback from those guys and women that, you know, that's, although they're happy to help, that's not what they signed up for. It puts a strain on their families. And right now, we don't see any end in sight. So a lot of those folks, kind of like our education employees, you know, they're frustrated and they're looking to do something different because, you know, that's not really what they signed up for. So it's causing so many problems. And again, we could have solved that this session, I believe. And again, problems in the Texas House, why I'm running. I feel like we have to have change.
Where do you stand on the elimination of property tax? Because I think this is one of the most abhorrent things The natural rights theorist John Locke said that life, liberty, and property were endowed to us by our Creator. I find it unconscionable that we tax people on their property, and therefore, you know, you really can never own your property. You just continue to rent it from the government. Is that a key issue for the folks out there in West Texas?
It's very interesting because we've had lots of conversations about this. Yes, it's taxes and property taxes are hurting a lot of folks, and we know a lot of those folks that are behind on their property taxes are usually behind on other bills like their mortgages, and we never want to get them in a situation where they are, you know, having to move out of a home, foreclosure, and losing and becoming, you know, homeless or a renter and not being a homeowner. We want to promote home ownership, of course, in Texas. So that's frustrating, but we do have some really small rural counties that, you know, are just a lot of land in one little town. And so they do have property taxes to help them do different things if they pass bonds and whatnot. But I think what a lot of folks don't understand is that we have debt at the state level. I think people get confused on property taxes a lot of the times. But with the school property taxes, we have debt at the state level that we have created. And until no one really talks about that or the number, and until we pay that down, we're basically just, you know, paying interest on it every time and not really moving forward. And I think that's, you know, I know we got some relief this session, and I know lots of folks were grateful for that, but the true issue is not being addressed, and that's paying down that debt on the back end. And so anyways, lots of different things with property taxes. I think in general, we need less government and not more, and we have to stop wanting to spend money on everything. It's been interesting as a candidate. I've heard lots of things like, can you help my group, whatever their group may be, get more funding? And I understand everybody wants more funding, but at the end of the day, we're spending money. And so we've got to stop spending. And sometimes that includes not funding everything that's out there, right? We just have to start thinking more, you know, look at the big picture and thinking, what do conservatives believe? And if that's what I believe, we have to stop spending.
Well, I think it's so important that we get government back to understand its proper roles and functions and duties and responsibilities. And that's what they're supposed to be funding. I think that when you allow people to come down and everyone's shaking the little can and saying, can you put a little something in my can? And of course, then I'll write you the campaign check. That's why we see these budgets that continue to grow and continue to explode. And that's also what has happened here in the state of Texas. This is brand new for you. You're now a political candidate. What has been the most surprising thing that you have learned or experienced in this journey as a candidate?
Oh, surprising. That's an interesting question.
I like to come up with interesting questions.
I did not realize, honestly, how much work it was going to be and how much time it was going to be. We launched my campaign in May of this year. And so it's over 10 months now.
Yeah.
And if I knew then what I know now, I think I would have waited a little bit longer. I feel like it's helped me because I did, you know, 40-year incumbent or going on 40 years. I had a lot of ground to gain, a lot of people I needed to touch. So it helped me getting out there early and going to parades this summer and stock shows and everything I possibly could. But at the same time, we are tired. And on March 6th, you're not going to see me. I'm going to be resting. When you run for office, it's not just you. It is truly your whole family.
It's your family.
It is a team event. And so I just didn't realize how much it would be, all the things.
The last question I'll ask is, and I want you to respond to the audience, not to me, why should people across the entire state of Texas or outside the state of Texas feel that your race and the Texas State House is important for them?
Good question. I think it's important for them because I am not running to start a new career. I'm not running, you know, for a paycheck, and you and I both know what the Texas House pays, which is hardly anything. I'm not going down there, you know, to pad my resume or to try to make new friends. You know, I'm good on friends. I am at that point in my life. Both of my children are fixing to be both in college. And so I've come through the fire, if you will, being a parent. I'm very grounded in what I believe, and I am going down there, if you elect me, to make Texas a better place, to fight fiercely for our conservative values and to be a voice of truth. I feel like God has put it on my heart to speak up and to speak out, and I don't mind saying things. And I think so many of our elected officials today tend to just close their mouths, go back and sit down and hit the button, yes or no, because they want to come back next time. And I just feel like we need some folks to rise up and speak the truth with love, but speak it boldly and from the mountaintops, because what is happening in Texas is not okay. We're not winning. And I think that we passed this much conservative legislation and this much is dying, and the people don't really know what's happening. And so we've got to have someone speak the truth, educate not just District 86, but everyone what's going on. Because so goes Texas, so goes the nation, and we've got to stand strong.
Well, Jamie, I will tell you that the intent of our founding fathers was that we had citizen legislators and we had servant leadership. And I think that's what you represent. You're someone that was living your life, but you saw an issue, it struck you in the heart, and you continue to go out and want to fight for that in the halls of government. So I want to thank you so much for joining us. You have my full endorsement from the Steadfast and Loyal program and podcast. But I want you to tell everybody, how can they follow you, how they can support you in your race to be the next representative from Texas State House District 86.
Yes, please go to Jamie for Texans. That's JamieForTexans.com and check out the website. You can donate there. You can check out my YouTube page, which has quite a few videos that we've done about me, including one with you. And we would love your support, and go vote. Get out there and vote. We got to keep Texas red.
That's the key thing, folks. We need you to get out there and vote because it's all about turnout, and we have to have a very strong turnout. If, you know, it's much the same as they said. Sometimes you get the government that you want. Other times you get the government that you deserve. So thank you very much, everyone, for joining us for this segment on the Steadfast and Loyal podcast. If you enjoyed this segment, if you enjoyed Jamie Haynes, please go to her website and support her. But until next time, steadfast and loyal.
Before they burn it down.